back to Proverbs. And if you have your order of worship, you'll see that there's an assortment of verses. Proverbs, as you can tell just frankly from that order of worship, if you haven't been here with us either in person or online as we've been doing this series of sermons walking through and worshiping through Proverbs, just by the form that you see there with these scattered verses thrown out, you get a picture of what the book does. The book is a collection of wisdom sayings that are, they're pithy and colorful. Things like lips dripping with honey. Had honey on my toast this morning. A thorn that goes into the hand. Or everybody's favorite, a gold ring in the pig's snout. You know, they grab your attention. You can see them, you can feel them, you can just pretty near smell them, and you go, they get us. Tim Keller and his wonderful, he and his wife wrote this wonderful little devotional book through the year, devotional book through the Proverbs, and Keller says at one point, he says that one of the main messages of the Proverbs is that we have really never thought enough about anything. The point being is, when you read the Proverbs, you know, we read through the Bible, we read through the historical books, and we're trying to get the plot and get through things, or maybe through the genealogies, and you're just trying to get through them. With Proverbs, slow down. Just slow down. I've had the habit of reading a chapter a day over the last several years, and I find myself, I've kind of whoosh. And through this series, I realized I've got to stop and hover, or maybe better, hunker down. So I would just recommend to you to take two or three verses, maybe read until one of them just gets out and grabs you by the ear and says, I need to think about this one. Or maybe that hasn't grabbed you, but that you want to grab you. And Lin-Manuel Miranda, the creator of Hamilton, you know, the Hamilton musical that's all over everywhere now, he says that words, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is words. That words are the closest thing we have to magic. Words do things. If you want to go back a few years, Rudyard Kipling says that words are the most powerful drug used by mankind. Now, if we tend to never think about anything quite enough, certainly our words are among the greatest stumbling block. You know, our words just, they come out. But we've got better than magic, and we've got better than drugs, because for our words, we have this word, we have the Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God. And so let's ask Him to grab our attention this morning and to get us by Himself and by His Word. Let's pray. Father, would You do that? Would You take these few minutes now, and if we would think carefully, slow down and think carefully about what You have done and what You would do with our words. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you've got an order of worship, you see there's an assortment. I'm going to read through them. As we go through the sermon, we won't take them up in the order that they're printed there. They're printed in the order that they appear in the Scripture. So, Proverbs. This is God's Word. Dave said it earlier. This has no error in it. And see, we can trust it as His Spirit works among us as well. So Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. 12:18 and 19. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. 15:23. To make an apt answer is the joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. 17:9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. 18:8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. And then 22:10. I think this is, yeah, the next to the last. Drive out a scoffer and strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease. 24:26. No, that's not the last. 24:26. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. In 25:18 and 20, I think they're printed in the reverse order if you've got the print. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Verse 20, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. And 29:5. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. So that's God's word. There's more there. I think I am going to have to go through it quickly, aren't I? So hunker where you will. We're going to look at the reality of words, the responsibility of words, so the reality, that is, the creation, what words do in creation. So there's a reality, and then there's a responsibility. If words are that weighty, then we have a responsibility as the way we use them, then the redemption of our words. Reality, responsibility, and redemption. So God speaks. You know, that's the first chapter of the Bible. God said, let there be light, and there's light. And if you look, I was rereading it this morning. It's just really fascinating. If we're looking at the first chapter of Genesis, then chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, verse 6, and God said, in verse 9, and God said, in verse 11, and God said, and God said, and God said, and whatever He said happened. So His words are creative. And not only are they creative, but they also are governing. One of the Psalms, 29:9, I wrote it down. It says, the voice of the Lord makes the deer calve. So, birth, and the Psalm 29 does other, he does, everything happens, the Lord speaks, and it happens. And part of our being in His image, He created us in His image, part of that, a very significant part of that, is He made us worded beings. That is, we bear His image, and part of that is, He speaks, we speak. He made us that way. And so the first thing, in fact, that the first task that we're, you know, the positive task that the Bible recounts that God gave us to do, gave Adam to do, was to speak. Looking at chapter 2:19, God formed every beast from the field and every bird of the heavens, and He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. He brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them. And whatever the man called them, that was their name. So from the beginning, we were made for talking and given words to speak, but called to speak. And so there's no option there. That's who we are. That's what we do. And our words do real things. That's important. You know, philosophers have understood that. There's a whole theory of linguistics that's called... they call it a speech act. And they recognize that your words do things. They're not just out there. They're not flaccid. They're firm and they act. They do something. And therefore, since that's the case, we have a responsibility, okay? So that's what we've looked at, the reality of them. And as we look at the responsibility, we're going to kind of go through some examples of our misuse of language, how we use corrupt words, then we'll look at some positive opportunities that we have. It didn't take long after God gave us, in Adam and Eve, things to do and to say for things to go wrong. Adam and Eve encountered the liar, and he came using corrupt words. He twisted God's words, and it was like that that we followed him in that pattern and began to twist our words. Our words now are often warped, and they do damage. One of the ways, and we'll, if you want to look at the verses there, 12:19 is printed there for you. Truthful lips endure forever. I'll just stop there for just a second. It's one of the great privileges of telling the truth is you don't have to remember what you said because it's still true. So when you say things that are true, that endures. Isn't that wonderful? You get to say things, and if it's true, it never goes away. A lying tongue is but for a moment. A lie is like duct tape. It's an attempt to fix things in the instant. Like, I can fix that, slap some duct tape on it. We are in a, that is to say, reality, remember, we talked about it, reality isn't good enough. And so we've got to do something about it. We've got to recreate something that's different than what's really there. And so we, you know, Gorilla Glue or something. And we lie, as someone has said, because we lack. There's something we want reality to hold for us, and it's not there. And so we can fix that. So I've made a mistake. I can handle that. I can fix that. I'll tell a different story. I can cover this up. I've got a weakness. There's something that about myself. Maybe it's a false shame, and maybe it's something I need to be embarrassed about and repent of. But there's something out there, and so I post a different picture of myself, if you will. I've got a whole, you know, I don't like what's on the wall. I don't have a Facebook page, so I may be using this language wrong. But there's something out there on my wall that I don't like. I can fix it. But we don't just do that, you know, on those e-media. We do it all the time. We present something. We don't like what we are, and we present a different reality. You want a pleasure that you don't have, and so you change your circumstances with an untruth. You want a reputation that's different, and so you tell the story, you present yourself differently. We treat lying lightly. You know, we just like, that's, you know, it's a lie. God doesn't. It's Revelation, all the way at the end, Revelation 21:8. Listen to what God says. As for the cowardly, the faithless, and the detestable. So first he gives a description, if you weren't feeling too good about yourself already. So see, he describes me. You know, he says, as for the cowardly, the faithless, and the detestable. And then he describes what we do. He says, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Pretty serious list that he finishes up with, and all liars. Slander and gossip is another category. In English, there's a distinction. You know, slander implies or even declares that there's something untrue in what's been spread around. And gossip can be true. Frankly, in the language the Bible's written in, those two words kind of slide back and forth. I mean, there's a difference nonetheless, but so when you read the word slander, gossip in the Bible, sometimes it goes back and forth. But if you've been the victim of either, You know that the old saw isn't true. Sticks and stones can break my bones. But here'll tell you what. Words break hearts. Break hearts. And break homes. They break the world. And mark this. When you read these Proverbs, listening counts. It's not just the words that we say that make us liars. It's the words that we countenance. It's the words that we are really willing to hear. I didn't write this one down for you, but chapter 17, verse 4 says, "An evildoer listens to wicked lips." And just as a note, be aware that some of our listening is with our ears in this day and time. Some of it's through other media. Be careful about listening to scurrilous online gossip and slander. There's been many an honorable person who has been raked over the coals. And when when you hit that clickbait, it encourages it. Don't think it doesn't matter. You don't imagine that you're going, "Oh, that was interesting." And listen, we're all great. We just love to find out bad stuff about things. I just read the other day something happened somewhere, somebody that in some place, some institution stepped across the line, and man, I was like, I don't know more about that. Be careful about that. Listening to wicked lips is evil. Words of a whisper, verse 18. Here's the problem. They taste so good. The words of a whisper, 18:8, are like delicious morsels. They go down to the inner parts of the body. Gossip tastes so good. It's like, like I can't eat just one. I'd like some more of those. On vacation, we got some cheddar sun chips. White cheddar sun chips. They go great with watermelon. And just couldn't stop. That's the way it is. But 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love. He who repeats a matter separates close friends. Listen, there's a great strategy. Here's some language you'll be familiar with lately. You want to mitigate the damage of slander and gossip? Wear a mask and quarantine. When you hear gossip, quarantine it. Socially isolate it. Don't let it out. And then maybe we can have football. I'm sorry, other subject. I'm sorry, forgive me. Divisive words, another category. These overlap, by the way, just like all kind of sin overlaps. You know, you break one, you've broken them all. But there are some who just love to stir things up, you know, and to stir ourselves up. I found that when I'm about that, when my words or when I'm, you know, listening and not isolating it, and that often I do this in order to avoid taking care of a real responsibility I have. You know, I'd rather stand by the curb and tell people to slow down when you ride down my street than go clean up my garage. Sorry, Lee. There's a time to tell me to slow down when I drive down the street. But there's times when I go out looking for somebody else's stuff rather than dealing with just the simple little, let me just do what I need to do. Bad timing. Misplaced words. Listen, us Bible people may be the worst offenders here because we got a verse for everything, don't we? And the Proverbs are dangerous ammunition for that. But we've got, you got a problem, I got a verse. And sometimes it's not a Bible verse, it's just a kind of a Christianese truism that we got things we say. Again, Tim Keller, he says, you know, the more you say, the less you listen, and therefore the less you learn. The proverb is, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. And if we'll restrain our lips, we can become more and more prudent, because when we're not talking, we have the opportunity to listen. And we learn not only more things about things, we learn more things about each other. You see, that we become more and more wise. There are other ways we mess up. This Proverbs has been hard for me to preach. I think I may have told you this before, but I had a friend one time, went on vacation, came back and said, I almost bought you this T-shirt, Larry. It would have been great for you. It says, help, I'm talking and I can't shut up. And so for those of you who said, how could he preach this sermon? So, redemption, okay? Folks, if you're seeing this online, there's a lot of people who are still chuckling in here, the ones who know me well. But there are redeemed words, too. See, mere silence is not a remedy. So you can't say, well, I got this down, I just won't say anything. Slap that mask back on, and I'll just say nothing. So this is for you introverts and such. You don't get to do that. God made us worded, and we've got words, and we're called to speak. Because our words change things. Our words change people. They really do. You know that because you've been changed by words. An apt answer, 15:23, is a joy to a man. Listen, it's a joy to the apt giver. It's a joy to the apt, to the receiver of that word. And you've received apt words. And a word in season, how good it is. Can you remember things people have said to you that you just needed to hear? One day when I was between churches, as we say euphemistically, and working in a pharmacy, heading for a while, I didn't feel like I was doing a great job. A young man came up to me after going through a rush hour, and he walked up to me. He's a guy who was 20 years younger than I at the time, still is, I'm sure. And he said, thank you, that was so helpful. You're really good at this. That was really, really helpful. And here I was, I don't know, 45-year-old guy, and I almost burst into tears behind the pharmacy counter. But it was an apt word. I mean, enjoy, tears of joy. It's like, really? I'm doing something? I'm helping? So you know that. You've had people say that words that have just changed your day. And you've had words that have changed your life. You've had somebody come along and say, you know, I see this in you, and I believe God is going to use that. That happens all the time among close friends, but it can also happen among acquaintances. I won't go into a bunch of detail. My time has run out. But you know that. Words can be healing words. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. I remember the first time I kissed those lips. You can love somebody with your words, and they'll remember it. Flattery, no. Don't go around saying things to people to their face that you wouldn't say behind their back. You know, don't say, that was great, you're great, and then behind your back say, you know, that guy's slacker all the time. But flattery is dangerous because it's kind of... It's addictive to both parties. The one who hears the flattery gets approval, and the one who gives the flattery gets influence. And so there gets to be this kind of co-idolatry, and it kind of works its way. It can work its way through a whole enterprise, through a whole body. It could work its way through a society. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Listen, when the Lord, just finishing, when the Lord wanted us to really hear Him, what did He do? When He wanted us to get the Word, He had a Word to speak. You know, He didn't just speak. He didn't just give instructions. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father. He infleshed it. And one of the most remarkable verses in the New Testament just jumps out at you. The religious people, I'm sure, who had a word and a statement for everything, sent somebody out to kind of to arrest Jesus, stop this guy. And they came back and they said, no man ever spoke like this. Listen, you go to that one who came in the flesh, and he spoke for you. He spoke perfect words, so we can take our corrupt mouths, our corrupt lips, and we can come hide up in him, and you get credit for no man ever spoke like this. And you see what he'll do? He will cover the damage that we've done. He'll not only cover, he'll redeem it. He'll take it and somehow or another, this is a God, who's a God like this? That'll change even the things that we have spilled out and gather them up and get his glory and then redeem them so that when all is said and done, all will be right. He will purify it. All the cruel insults that all the thoughtless words that you've said, the lies that we've told, the uncontrolled babble. We'll eventually get to say what we said earlier in the service. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests. Priests, remember, talk to God. They go to God for the world. And he's made us a kingdom of those who talk to God. A kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Let's pray. And so we say now, as we sang earlier, speak, O Lord. And now we ask you to feed us. You have spoken, come in the flesh, and now accommodated our fleshness as you did in Jesus now with a meal. This bread and juice that we might taste and be reminded of the more that the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and he has freed us from our sins by the blood of his cross. And so we come in his name. Amen.